Distinct pleasure to welcome you to this this pretty amazing service this afternoon. I mean, just a year ago or so, we began the process of praying what the Lord would have us to do concerning Jason and Allie and a mission involvement with them, and it seems like just each step of the way, the Lord has opened a door. He's guided and directed, and here we are today. Three churches coming together to support and to send them to Manassas, Colombia, to make the gospel known, to help churches grow and mature and declare and be beacons of light. I don't know. This is just something very special. For us, it's something new and exciting. And so just, if you can, to the best of your ability, put aside the aroma that you smell. And let's just join. We'll join our hearts and worship today. But we do welcome you and just pray that God is honored and high and lifted up and the gospel is going to go forward.
1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as I look around, I see different assemblies joining together, and we're coming together, Lord, because you've placed upon our hearts, your Spirit has worked within us to draw us here for a reason, for a purpose. And we realize, Lord, that our chief end is to glorify you and honor you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are such an awesome God, such a loving God, a caring God, that you have called us to be one of yours, that you changed our hearts, you opened our eyes, and you've shown to us a love that we can show to others as well. And we pray for Allie and Jason as they go to a different country, Lord, not knowing the people, but as you tell us in your scripture, Lord, these little small things is what you use. Things that we don't expect. But we realize, Lord, it's all for your glory and your honor. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us that faith, that belief, that trust, that confidence in you, knowing that you're in control, Lord. You guide our steps. You guide our paths. You even place words within our mouth, things within our hearts, within our minds, Lord. And we thank you that we can do that, and we give back to you, Lord, through our worship, because, Lord, we know we need to praise you for what you've done for us. We know we need to thank you as well for being so kind, showing such grace to us, giving us that gift of salvation as well, showing that love to us through your Son and his death upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, that we can serve you, that we can give back to you, that we can honor and glorify you because you've been so good to us. Thank you for being so merciful, showing such grace to us. Thank you that we can come together in the fellowship. We just pray that people can see your power working within Allie and Jason, that they can see that you have a concern for others as well, that you are going to change hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of that. And all these things, Lord, we pray to your glory and to your honor. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The first song we're going to sing is the one that we did at Laurelville, Nothing That My Hands Can Do, which is a modernized version of Horatius Bonner's. Still just as true today.
There's nothing that my hands can do to save my guilty soul. I cannot cleanse my filthy stains or make my spirit whole. For nothing but the blood of Christ can all my sins erase. I dare not claim my righteousness, but hide within his grace. 'Tis Christ who saved me from the depths. God's pardon I've received. I'm washed within his precious blood. My heart is sprinkled clean. I'll praise the God of holiness, of justice, truth, and might, who guides me by his mighty hand to walk within his light. While Satan weaves his shallow lies, God speaks to me in love, reminding me his only Son has bought me with his blood. And Christ dispels my every doubt, through him I am redeemed. I love because he loved me first, I live because he lives. My life is but a fleeting sigh, a tear within the sea. But you are everlasting, Lord, and you've predestined me to leave this fading world behind, not fearing death will come. For then I'll look on Jesus Christ, and to his arms I'll run. And when I see him face to face, what glory that will be, to look upon my Savior's scars, and know they were for me. And when I see him face to face, what glory that will be, to look upon my Savior's scars and know they were for me.
That will be glory indeed. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's stand.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
I'm glad we chose that hymn to sing. Be thou my vision. Boy, if that's not your prayer and your desire, maybe we need to study Christ a little more closely. Study our hearts a little more deeply. Because there's nothing in this life that's worth focusing and having our attention on. Save the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to direct your attention to chapter 28 of Matthew, Matthew 28:18, as our brother Chris read the passage for us. And the plans, for those that maybe haven't heard so far, is that I will take verse 18, that Bob will take the next couple of verses, and that Mike will finish, and we're all going to do this in a half an hour. I was told, and the more I'm up here, the more I believe it, I was told I drew the long straw. I got the best option because I'm up here first. Remember, guys, it's a half an hour, okay? Total. But no, we want to take these verses, which are so important to us, as it were, something of the church's charter, and we want to apply them to what we're doing here today. I agree with Mike. There's just something uniquely exciting about being able to be here today and being able to be a part of this. And I think all of us, the more that we talk and the more that we get into the how things have happened, into the milieu, if you will, of Jason and Allie coming to this place, all of us just stand in awe at the greatness of our God and the leading of our God. And we feel very much privileged to be a part of it. And it's because of some of the remarks that I'm about to say here, but let me read verse 18 again, the part that I want to open up just briefly this morning. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. He's meeting with his disciples. Remember, he told them, go to Galilee, I will meet you there. He even told Mary at the tomb that there is a place, you're probably familiar with it, Peter and John and the rest of you. We've met there before. And I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. I will meet with you there. And so here he is. We're not sure how long after the resurrection report. We're not sure how long before the disciples relocated back to Jerusalem in the opening of Acts chapter 1. And we're not even sure who all is there. There's some indication that this might have been the meeting when Paul reports in Corinthians that there were more than 500 people at once. You remember that? And many of them were still alive. A few had fallen asleep. This may be the very meeting that Paul was referring to, where there was a group of disciples drawn by what? Well, certainly there was uniqueness. It's not every day you get to go see somebody that was in a tomb and now is standing and walking and talking. Certainly there was excitement. But they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? And as he brings his disciples together, remember, he's going out of the world. We already had the discourse in the upper room. We already had the night before he left when Jesus gave all those parting instructions, all those promises of comfort to his disciples. And here he is, just a very short time before he's going to be bodily removed from their presence. And so he uses this time to say to them, you know what, guys? I have triumphed. Let me say that again to you. The battle's done. I'm standing before you right now as the victor. Remember that vision in Daniel of the Son of Man that came on the clouds of heaven and was presented to the Ancient of Days? And it said there in Daniel, all authority was given by that Ancient of Days to the Son of Man. And here's Jesus standing before his disciples, these ones that had been so downcast, these ones that had turned their back on him. Maybe even some of them, if there was more than 500 there, maybe even some of them were in the crowd screaming, crucify this guy. We don't know. But here he stands before them and he says, I am the Son of Man who was prophesied so long ago, and I have triumphed. I am victorious. I am now the ruler. All authority. Do you understand that? All authority. There is no other authority other than what I have. That means power, and that means the right to use that power to implement his plans, his purposes, his goals. Jason and Allie, we are sending you out in the name of the King. You see, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ, and he has given us, as his disciples, this commission to go. And he stands behind this commission. This just has tremendous implications for you as you are preparing to go and as you get down there and begin the work there in Colombia. It's his authority and his command that sends you down there. It's not us. It's not the churches. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the ruler of all things, that says go. Go, because I have all the authority. And there's nothing and nobody that's going to stand in your way, that's going to hinder or get in the way of the purposes of God. If there comes a time when you forget that, look up Daniel 4 and spend some time reading about Nebuchadnezzar and how the Lord changed him and gave one of the most glorious and blessed benedictions, if you will, or descriptions of God there at the end of chapter 4. That's a freebie. That's not in my notes, by the way. But Jason and Ali, you go in the authority of Christ. It would be a fool's mission if our churches were sending you only and solely on our own. We might as well go play golf or something. You go, not as men seeking to conquer other men. You go, not as superior Americans seeking to change inferior Colombians. You go not on an economic mission to gain fame and fortune and riches for yourself. And mostly, you go not dependent on your own strength or wisdom to find success. No, you go in the power and authority of Almighty God Himself. You go with the presence and blessing of the King. Can't think of a better way to send you off. Couldn't think of a better foundation for your mission. All that Christ displayed when He walked this earth, all that He did when He displayed His power over the winds and the waves, when He displayed His power over sickness and illness, when He displayed His power over the disease that afflicted mankind, when He displayed His power over Satan and all of his minions. And yes, when He displayed His power over death itself. This is the power that lies behind your mission. This is the name and the authority in which you go. This is the God who rules over everything and has given you the command to go. How, indeed, can your work possibly fail or be defeated? Doesn't mean the work's going to be easy. Doesn't mean the work is going to be lightly passed over and still be accomplished. It will be demanding. It will be hard. It will require sacrifice on your part. Ministry is always like that. But you must keep in mind that the hardness and the difficulty is not because you lack the power or authority for what you're doing. If you're anything like me, you'll find that the difficulty and struggle is mostly because you're not conformed enough to His image. And so you're going to have to work and be molded and shaped into the image of the King who has sent you. Scripture says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You must learn to wield those weapons, to fight for the King, because by them the King will demolish whatever stands in the way of you, within you or outside of you, either one. So we have great confidence. We have great hope for the future. All authority rests in Christ, and He commands us to go. And now we are going through you, and we hold that out to you with great love, with great hope for the future. Remember who it is that sent you. He's already conquered, and He's ruling today. Thank you.
Mark has verse 18. I have 19 and 20. Mike has verse 20. I understood 10 minutes per verse, guys. Is that? That's what I thought. This, as our brother has already proclaimed, and Mike has stated, this is an exciting time. This is an exciting time, and I feel like we're just a bunch of guys that have jumped on the back of a pickup truck, and everybody's going, "Boy, that looks like fun." And we're saying, "Jump on." And that's the way, at least in my mind, of course, you know my mind works very strangely, but that's in my mind how this looks. This is the excitement with what the Lord is doing, the more we can recount the details, the more we're seeing how the Lord has put all of this stuff together miraculously. The more that we talked about it and hear the background, the more we're saying, come on. So we have our three churches that are here. I know Pastor Lingle's here from Kaiser, and some of his folks, as we talked to Chris, he's kind of like the same way. I want to jump on that truck. We want to be part of this. We want to see what the Lord is doing. And it is just an exciting time because we believe that it is the power of the Lord that is behind this, as our brother has just preached. And it's not on our authority. It's not on our power. Anybody that knows us knows it's not on our wisdom. This is all God's doing, and it is just a joy that we can come together, and it truly is worship to do this. Because it is based on the power of God, the plan is simple. If it was a weak power, we would have to be clever in some way. If it was somehow not going to match up to what we thought would happen, we'd come up with clever things to do. Suzanne likes watching football for the trick plays. I say trick plays are for those that are kind of weak and they're trying to come up with something to fool the other side. They're not powerful. When they're powerful, they just run the ball up the middle, pass the ball. The plan is very simple, verses 18 and 19. You'd almost expect them to stand around and say, is that it? Right? You're sending us out into the world. Isn't there more? Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And you expect him to say, does he have a book with him? Is there something he's going to give us? No. Making disciples is just simply to make a learner, somebody who loves Jesus. It is simply to go forth and to love this Jesus that has saved us and has given his life for us. It is to faithfully proclaim this message because we have a God that is worthy to be made known, regardless of the response that we get in Uniontown or Kingwood or Kaiser or Oakland or Manizales. Regardless of that response, we go there to make known this Lord that has called us to be disciples and now calls them to bow to his lordship and to his power and to his authority. Each one of these words, of course, is about a 30-minute sermon. But we don't have time for all of that because the plan is simple. He says baptizing and teaching. Those two words are not how it's done, but it is the example or the means that we see that it is taking place here. Baptizing. Baptizing is identifying a person with the kingdom of God with the people of God, those two together. So as Jason and Allie are going, that's what they are doing as they are coming in. That idea of baptizing is we are going there to say this is how we are included within the context of the kingdom of God. It is to say that I am a sinner that has been washed by the blood of Christ. I have been forgiven of my sin, and now I am identifying myself not individually, but with the people of God. That's what the baptizing is symbolizing. It doesn't do anything other than to say, as a person, I'm identifying myself with these people that now love Christ. And then they are to teach. We are to proclaim with this authority the truth that Jesus has proclaimed. Nothing more and nothing less. It is not going to be through trickery. It's not going to be through some sort of a great plan. It's just simple proclamation of this truth. When I was at seminary, a book came out that was being touted as one of those great books, you know, that comes out and this is what we need to do. It was called The Master Plan of Evangelism. And you follow this plan, and if you follow this plan, then boy, people are just going to come to Christ. And the author of the book, I was one of my professors, and as they were talking to him about this book and said, this book is the same means that some evangelists have used, and they get people to come, and we walk the aisles, and we do all this, and a year later, after they've walked the aisles and they've done all this, 80% are not reading Scripture, they're not attending a church, they're not part of a fellowship, but of that 80%, some 70% believe they're saved, though. And the professor said, well, I think it's a problem of discipleship. And so 3 years later, he came out with another book, The Master Plan of Discipleship, right? Now we're going to fix the problem. No. It's not a plan. It's not this big formula that we do. We like formulas. We like plugging things in. There is no plan here. And for me, that's part of the excitement of what's happened. This wasn't a plan. This wasn't somebody come up and say, this is how you do missions. First, you have the Lord send a couple to you with one of them that's from Colombia. And then, you know, they're here in West Virginia. We don't know why they're here, but they're here. They're not even sure why they're here. And then you send somebody to their house to do some work on the house, and they invite them to your church, right? And then they come to your church, and you meet them, and then you introduce them to other churches. And there is no plan here. This is just simply being faithful to the gospel. What is exciting to me is it's these churches that have faithfully and consistently preached the word of God. And because of that, I believe the Lord has entrusted this precious couple to us, that we can encourage them and take part in this ministry to proclaim to these pastors that are in Colombia that don't have this word, that do not have the teaching. And we can be part of that because of the faithfulness we have had and the faithfulness that they have had to love Christ. And to take these pastors in and say, we're just here to teach. We're not here with any great plan. We're not here with a system. We are here simply to join along with you and to learn and to grow together. The scripture that was read from Corinthians, I want to turn there. I'm not going to expound the whole thing, but just a quick run through. I mean, look at this. As far as the plan goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There it is, right? The word that's the power of God. There's the plan. It wasn't the plan is foolishness, but this word, that is the truth, that is foolishness. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. There it is, right there. What's the plan? We are going to faithfully, consistently preach Christ and him crucified. Verse 30, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Notice it wasn't by the plan that you had, he is in Christ Jesus. It's not by the method that you came up with that they're in Christ Jesus. It is by his doing that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that it is written, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Verse 4 of chapter 2, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. It wasn't in a plan. It wasn't in skill. It wasn't brother coming up with all P words, which is what I talked in a poem. Although those are nice. But it really is in this simplicity. Isn't it? It really is. Look, it is just this message, so that you will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Let me just close quickly by going to Acts 4. I know Mike was shaking his head. He's thinking he can't get all through that in a minute. What scares me is I saw him making notes while we were sitting here, and if he's already prepared for 10 minutes and he's still taking notes, I shared this morning at our church. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. It was a little over a year ago that the storm of October 29 hit, and we were concerned about Jason and Allie being stuck up in their little cabin. And I had gone up there with some food, and we sat there, and we had been talking already about Columbia. And Jason had and Allie had said, you know, we're not sure. Jason said, I thought you have to go to seminary. You have to have all this approval. Some of the churches they went through, they had boards and stuff they had to recognize. I don't remember exactly the exchange. I just simply remember saying, Jason and Allie, you love the Lord. You've studied. You know truth. And it's evident in their life. If you've ever had a chance to sit and talk with them, if you haven't, you're missing a beautiful opportunity because they love Christ. It is just simply being faithful to this message that we're called to. These men were uneducated, but what they recognized about them is that they had been with Jesus. that is, they loved Christ, and it was evident in their life. So my commission, as far as the plan goes, it is this simple. Our commission to you, Jason and Allie, go to Columbia and love Jesus.
I only prepared 2 minutes because I knew that's all I'd have. So that's why I was making notes. You guys were going fast. First away, by explanation, the alliteration of the P's was stolen from Blake White, and they were not mine, no. But we have considered the power of Christ. All authority has been given to him. Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 20 says, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, the place of power, the right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named not only in this age but also in the one to come. All power, all authority. We have heard of the plan of Christ. Make disciples. Make followers of Christ. Lovers of Christ and his church. And as Bob has so accurately and beautifully taught us, it is simply by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The person and the work of God come in the flesh to redeem and to save hell-deserving sinners like you and I. That's all it is. It is preaching this message. It is having confidence in this message of the one who has and is all authority and all power. Preach the message. Baptize those who profess faith in the message. Mark them, as Bob related to us. Mark them as those having received the Holy Spirit. And then teach them. In the context of the church, this is what we're doing with one another. We're teaching one another. We're discipling one another all the time. Which simply means growing in our understanding and what it means every time we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of every area, every aspect, every part, every experience of life, the one with all authority who came and died as our substitute is Lord of that experience. That's what we're teaching. That's what hopefully we are learning. Now we come to consider the last P, the presence of Christ, our great comfort. Our great comfort. Three times in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the phrase of I am with you, or God is with us. Matthew 1:23, the beginning of the Gospel. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew 18:20 tells us, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. In the context, rightly understood, of church discipline, in the context of guarding and protecting the testimony and the witness, but most importantly, the worship of the church. The authority of the Lord to dismiss those who refuse to repent of sin. And that's the only reason that anyone is ever to be dismissed from a church, is for the failure to repent of sin. Thirdly, we come to the passage here in Matthew 28. The last part of verse 20 says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It was interesting. Yesterday morning, I had a message on my answering machine from Ricky Persons, pastor out in Indiana. Ricky was here in Kingwood for several years. And he said, in that southern accent, "Brother Mike," he said, "I've been thinking about this verse and wondering what you thought of it. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So I called Ricky back and said, "Well, I have been thinking about that verse just a little bit." You know, it's really interesting. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew, it moves from Emmanuel, God with us, to at the end, after we've had this glorious gospel setting forth who Jesus is, the promised Messiah. It ends with Jesus saying, "I am with you." That's important, that we've moved from this old covenant concept of God and the promised one coming, him coming, and now at the end we have Jesus Christ saying, "I am the one with all authority. I am the plan. And I am with you, even to the end of the age." And lo, basically what Jesus is saying, remember, take note, pay close attention, hear this, hear this. I am with you always. I've given you a tremendous task to go into all the world and make lovers of me and make lovers of the church. But remember this, I am with you. We have that tremendous assignment bookend. By all authority has been given to me. And this statement, I am with you always. Remember this. Take note. Reveal the reality. Reveal the truth in life and with your words. Speak of me. Speak this gospel. Demonstrate the power of the gospel by seeing lives changed from a focus upon self to a focus upon me. That's what discipling is. Setting forth the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit, having people turn more from loving themselves to loving Christ and his church. And remember, I am with you always. Now, that's not a promise. That's not a promise. That is a statement of fact. based upon his life, his death, his resurrection, his soon ascension. It is a fact that he is with his people as they are involved in this commission until the end of the age. Remember that. Take note of that. There's no vagueness about this assurance. It's a fact. The one with all power, the one with all authority is with you, Jason and Allie. And he's with every one of us who are in Christ. No matter what happens, no matter what may happen when you get to Manassas, and many things will happen, I know you go with a tremendous sense of excitement, but you go also with a tremendous sense of fear. I remember when Barbie and I were leaving to go to seminary, and we'd stayed with Tom and Linda, and we had a 24-foot U-Haul packed out front with a van in the back we were going to tow. And Scott wasn't 2 years old, and John was about 3 or 4 months. And we walked out of their door and started to walk up their steps, and I saw that, and I'm going, Lord, you better be in this, or we're in a world of trouble. A tremendous sense of excitement. Tremendous sense of fear also. But remember, I am with you always. This is what the Lord had to remind the Apostle Paul of. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9, we read, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. A message. How long is he going to be with us? Always. Literally all days, or all the day long, or throughout the whole of the day, day in, day out, every day, with its trials, and there will be trials. With its troubles, and there will be troubles. With its difficulties, and there will be difficulties. With the disappointments, and there will be disappointments. With times of sorrow, and there will be times of sorrow. All of these days, remember, take note of the fact, I am with you always. Keep speaking the gospel. Keep living the gospel. And this will go on to the end of the age. And I think I'll yield to one of my brothers to explain that. We know this much. The old covenant age came to an end. When the Lord spoke this, in just a few short years, the temple would come to an end. Just a few short years, all the priests would come to an end. Sacrifices come to an end. Pharisees come to an end. The new covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ will never come to an end. It will never end. The church that by God's grace we've been made a part of will never come to an end. That age will never end. Jesus Christ will be with us, a fact, for all eternity. He'll be with us. Moments of our deaths, He will be with us for eternity. He'll be with you. May God grant you the grace in the presence of His Spirit to remember this and take note of this and to demonstrate this. I think it's really interesting that Jesus ends the Gospel of Matthew, but He doesn't end with commands. He doesn't end with this list of orders. He ends with this statement of the fact of His presence. That's how we're to live. Obedient to commands, but obedience that flows from this amazing fact of the presence of the loving, reigning One with all authority. Go in His presence. Jason and Allie, go in His presence. Every child of God in here, go in His presence. May we all, we are all involved in this commission. We're sending them on their particular mission, but every one of us are involved in the context of the church and our individual life in this commission. Go, setting forth Christ, and go with hearts filled with thankfulness and love and gratitude. And that sets the stage for the ladies again.
The song we are going to sing, we've got the words up here. We'd really like you to follow along. It is a song written by Keith Getty and Stuart Town, and many of you are familiar with their music. And I don't know if you've ever owned any of their CDs, but you can even go on their website. They almost always tell you the background of why they wrote a particular song. So I just happened to be on their website with this song and thought, wonder what they wrote. It's just perfect for today. So I have to share this little blurb with you. It says, the story. If we examine our personal devotions or listen in on a prayer meeting, our Thanksgiving often focuses on health and position, family and friends, home and belongings. And all of these are right and good. The Bible tells us to give thanks in every situation. But the prayers of the early church in the New Testament never follow this pattern. The strong emphasis there is on giving thanks to God for spiritual blessings, the blessings that have true value beyond our life on earth. In this song, we give thanks to God for our spiritual blessings, past, present, and future. And what I want to encourage you to do, and I realized this after I read this, they have three verses. And the first verse is about the past, what Christ has done for us, for forgiveness and new life, which only He can bring by coming here to earth and suffering for us. Verse 2, how He walks beside us in the present each day and has lived, breathed, and walked here on earth with us. And the third verse of how He promises to be with us whatever our future holds. So please read the words along with us and worship.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life. and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow Him. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow Him.
Look, Pastor Chris prepared notes. Romans 10:14 through 18. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth, of the world. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Alejandra and I are amazed and very thankful that God was gracious enough to put these three strong churches in our lives. All the love and fellowship that we have come to know from the members, you have made us feel as members of your family. The puzzle pieces have fallen into places so quickly, it is impossible to really fully explain to you. But Alejandra and I have seen how every piece of the puzzle has been undergirded by God's incredible love. The time here in West Virginia has gone by very quickly. After 16 years of 60 to 80 hour work weeks, standing next to a wood-fired oven in Delaware, it has been a wonderful respite. It is amazing to see God's work. As humans, we can only see his movements in our lives through the past. John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God saved me about 13 years ago. I was knee-deep in pies and bread, 5 years into opening my bakery. If you had walked through the door that day I was saved and told me in 10 years you will be attending a Reformed church, living in West Virginia with a Colombian wife, and preparing to move to Colombia to proclaim Jesus as Lord, I believe I would have fell over. There were several key days that have led to this. Alejandra, I'm used to calling her Boo. I haven't said Alejandra in years. So, Boo and I beginning the Colombian Children's Christian Charity in September of 2007 and faithfully giving even when it hurt. The day my brother's electrician, Bob Berry, had the courage and obedience, having never met me before, to invite me to his home church. And the day Pastor Bob brought us the food after 12 days with no electric during Hurricane Sandy, and told Alejandra and I we did not need the formal theological background, just a willing heart and obedience to work full-time for God. This is the first time in our lives that we have known with certainty that we are in the will of God. We have a peace inside, even without any certainty as to God's plans for us in Colombia. We know that He has opened every door and made a path for us to go. In honesty, He has in many ways pushed us through this door for His glory. Alejandra and I know that in us, that is, in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If anything, our sinful natures have worked against His plans for us. Please never put us up on a pedestal or think us to be something we are not. Put Jesus up on a pedestal and think, wow, look at 1 Corinthians 1:27 is clearly true. For behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world that and the things that are despised did God choose. Yea, the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glorieth before God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who has made us unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according it is written, he that glorieth, let him glorieth in the Lord. Alejandra and I are the weak, foolish sinners in this text. I honestly believe that God has opened the door for Alejandra and I because we are wholly unqualified for the job. And it will be very obvious that this is God's work, and he will get all the glory. If you are expecting us to accomplish great things, it will not happen. If you are expecting God to accomplish great things, then pray, pray, pray. We need everyone to take seriously the fervent prayer of God's sovereign hand to move for his glory in every way in Colombia. Without it, we can do nothing. We go to Colombia to proclaim Jesus because he is worthy to be known. We go knowing our work is to be faithful in proclaiming his word, the gospel, and God's work is everything else. It cannot be comprehended how God can take a group of sinful people and use us to glorify himself. We are clearly not worthy. Pray for us to be humble servants of an illustrious master. Alejandra and I have printed out a list of the many prayer needs we have. In the world's view, I come from a pretty successful family. But now I know that I have the most important job in my family. I work for God, an incredible honor and with eternal consequences. Thank you for the trust you have placed in us, having known us for such a short time. Alejandra and I will be faithful with the resources that you have given us. Thank you for having a heart for the people of Colombia. Alejandra is overwhelmed that God is using saints from West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania to reach people so far away in her hometown of Manizales. So much has happened in the 7 years that she has been in the United States. With hindsight, it is clear she came to be saved, grow in Christ, learn English, good theology, and return to Colombia to be used as a tool in the mighty hand of God to spread the good news of Christ. With your prayers and support, we will tell the people of Colombia of Jesus' love and sacrifice. We will encourage and help build a foundation on Christ in the lives of our pastors. We will live God-honoring lives and be an example of Christ and his church. We will sacrificially build loving relationships with the members of the churches as an example for them. We will proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior to all the praise and to all the praise God for the ones whom have ears to hear. Isaiah 52:7-12. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up thy voice, and the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, yea, waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arms in the eyes of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go out by flight. For the Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel will be your rear guard. To God be the glory, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Mark's going to come, and we're going to have the commissioning prayer. Just stand right here. Father, we give them inside. What we want to do, if we'd like for everyone to stand, and you would kind of make your way forward. We want to join hands, and just come together as one, as Mark prays for Jason and Allie. And come on forward, grab hands.
You can tell we're a little nervous at this part, can't you? Yeah, it's not. Well, let's bow before the Lord. Father, we are just supremely overwhelmed as we stand here, connected to each other physically, connected, more importantly, spiritually, as brothers and sisters, those that we will spend eternity with, connected most importantly to you. And we just rejoice together, Lord. We just rejoice. Who are we and who are our Father's house that we should be chosen? Oh, Lord, how great is your grace. How deep is your love for sinners? Sinners that are so ugly and rebellious as us. Oh, Lord, we just worship you today. We just rejoice in your grace and your goodness to us. We rejoice in how you've brought the matter together so quickly and reminded of the days of Hezekiah, when the temple had been closed and there was no outward activity, and yet in such a quick time, not only was the temple cleansed, but they came together to celebrate the Passover. And they rejoiced in the mercy of God, even as we rejoice this day in the mercy of God. Thank you for Jason and Allie. Thank you for their love and commitment to you. Thank you for their desire to go and to serve you in Columbia. Thank you, Lord, for that catching on, that whole idea, catching on across your churches. Lord, we rejoice to be able to have this opportunity. And so we pray for Jason and Ollie. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen their faith. Strengthen their desire. Strengthen their resolve to serve you no matter what obstacle comes their way. Lord, we know the enemy rises up when he sees your people getting together and when he sees of a new desire and a new work being planted. He will work overtime. But, oh, Lord, that only gives more opportunity to see your gracious hand at work. That only gives more opportunity to see your authority being exercised. We know he's defeated, Lord, and we know he cannot defeat you as we work to establish this truth and this movement in Columbia. Lord, again, we are nothing. We pray and desire that you would be exalted, that you would be glorified. We pray that there would be many people come to know Christ. Pray that there would be many churches established in the truth. Lord, that they would be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ and not chase over the latest and newest fad that may be come along. But Lord, that they would be soldiers on the front lines proclaiming the good news of salvation in Christ. So, Lord, go with Jason and Ali. Help us to be sensitive and caring to them. Give them grace in your sight. We pray it for your great name's sake. Amen.
David, turn around. We're going to sing, "What Grace Is Ours."
What grace is ours that he who dwells in endless light will through the night to find our distant soul and and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for us, that we may live and in his name be known. So we will go wherever he is calling us. We lose our lives to find true love in him. We fill our heart to gain the hope that never dies. We bow our hearts, take up our cross, follow him. What grace is ours to know his breath alive in us. Beneath his wings our weary souls may soar. All fear friend flee, for death's dark night is overcome. Our Savior lives and reigns forevermore. So we will go wherever he is calling us. We lose our lives to find true life in him. We give up all to gain the hope that never dies. We bow our hearts, take up our cross, and follow him.
Amen. Let's pray for benediction and then for the meal that we'll have together as well. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you have knit our hearts together in love of Christ and of this gospel that we count so precious. We thank you for this worship service that we could have. We thank you for the truth of the gospel that calls us together, and Father, now sends us out as well from this place. We pray for Jason and Allie and pray that you would strengthen them, keep them strong in the gospel, their love of Christ evident to all that they come in contact with, and Father, to the end that they are faithful, we pray we too would be faithful in this calling that you've given us, to faithfully live out this precious gospel in Jesus Christ's name. Be with us in our fellowship around the food. Pray that it would be for us that constant reminder of your grace and of your mercy.